Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a part two of a show we did a couple of weeks ago, and we had the honor and pleasure of speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and she has a clinic, Tucson Biofeedback Center. And you can go to TucsonBiofeedback.com. And we were speaking about a new way that people should think about medicine. I think we've been caught up too much with the pharma industry and drugs and treating the symptom and never really getting to the root cause. And I think she does also, believes that the body is self-healing. And if we can feed it and highlight the things that make the body tick and work, then we can do wonders in terms of controlling our disease. And there's so many diseases that have just come out of the blue. I'm just astonished by the amount of medicine that people take and the fact that they come in sicker. And I think that we are on a trajectory that's not sustainable. And how we do it is we take our power back. We learn about how our body works and we act accordingly. And that's what Dr. Blessing does. And I think what you do, Dr. Blessing, is amazing. It's just an amazing service. And I have to tell you, I did refer a patient to you because I remembered our show and she was perfect. I hope she contacted you. She may be on your waiting list, but okay. It's worth the wait. I'm absolutely sure. So I wanted to thank you for joining me again, because we're going to talk about your modalities. We spent a lot of time talking about how, from a cellular standpoint and a neurobiology standpoint, this works. But I just wanted people, you have such a wealth of modalities. And what strikes me first is that not one size fits everybody. And the fact that so many different modalities exist speaks to me that you don't do a one-size-all analysis or treatment for your patients.
Yeah, that's correct. So because we are all so different, you know, not just with biology, but a big part of that is our life experiences that come into effect. So when we run the initial testing, I think we touched on this briefly on part one, how you were sharing how numbers are in essence a way to diagnose and then prescribe medication. It completely removes the ability to allow the body to communicate. So when we do an initial, we run a series of non-invasive scans, biofeedback, neurofeedback, stress analysis, that in essence just lets the body tell us what's going on. Because if we knew what was going on and how to fix it, obviously they wouldn't be sitting in the clinic. We would already have that figured out. So what we really do is get out of the way, because we're not that smart. None of us are. And so if we're just willing to say, hey, body, what is going on? Can you show me where the weak points are? Show me what can help bring into balance. And then we can create a plan that supports what you require, instead of the human error and the human ego being front and center, which is the traditional way, right, of looking at disease or health issues.
I think you're right. And not just from the patient standpoint, I think ego of the practitioner also comes into play. And I saw a patient today who asked a perfectly reasonable question. Did something that he took, did it cause a medical condition? And the doctor totally poo-pooed him as if, oh, that couldn't possibly be the case, and just ignored him. And I could just feel he wanted a second opinion and he came for someone to listen to him. I can't imagine, from a doctor-patient standpoint, how often that disconnection leads not only to miscommunication, but it doesn't help the patient get better at all, because it shuts off the patient from being a partner in their care. To me, that's half of what being of health is, don't you think?
Yes, it's meant to be a partnership, but it has really come down to the parent. You know, when you're a kid, parent knows all, and why do I have to listen to this? Because I'm the parent, you're the child. It's really come into that dynamic. And most people have been brought up in the reward punishment era too. And believe it or not, practitioners punish their patients and scold them when they don't take the prescriptions that they have prescribed them. I mean, I would say one of the top traumas, we just had one on Friday. She just started bawling when we did the lens neurofeedback, which is non-invasive, super gentle on her head. And then it generates a chart that allows us to read the brain. And she started bawling, opening up that she has PTSD because her father died in the hospital from, they believe that the medical team didn't really know what they were looking at. And so there were some errors. And it triggered all of that for her. And so when we just explained it, it's not diagnostic. This is simply informational. We were able to kind of walk her out of that traumatic effect that it had on her. But we see this so much, is how much medical trauma and medical PTSD is just deeply embedded in people. It's very sad.
It absolutely is. And, you know, it seems to me that people are ending up in the healthcare system at a younger age. You know, you're going to your pediatrician back in the day, it was a 10-minute visit. You get your exam, you're out the door. Now we have all this medication that's being foisted on kids that are younger and younger, and they're in, quote unquote, the system, right? So There's something wrong with them. Even though they're healthy children, something has been diagnosed that puts them in this pathway where they always have to be monitored and evaluated, and somehow they're not able to just be them because there's something wrong with them. I know we touched on that briefly before, but I think since it's such a huge part of the future of our country, I wanted to explore that again. That diagnosis of illness, I mean, obviously it's not something that's like cancer or chemo or something, but it's more behavioral or psychological, where you really can't diagnose it with a blood test. It's all clinical. How do you think that, it's a two-tiered question. How does it affect somebody going forward? Are they ever really able to break outside of their diagnosis?
That's a great question. And the challenge with diagnoses is and also just having the medical record, is they look at the body as static, right? That it doesn't adapt, it doesn't change, it doesn't have the capacity to heal beyond what a diagnosis was at one point. You and I both know within a 24-hour period, you're going to have different blood sugar levels depending on when you're scanning. Like, your body is constantly in flux and flow. And stagnation is obviously where we find death. And so the problem with the medical system is a diagnosis is like, they look at it as permanent. So from their perspective, probably not. From the person who is wanting to break free from a label that was put on them and to truly unlock the innate healing powers within our body. Absolutely. I mean, I'm one of them and many others have done it, but it's about reclaiming your power. It's about understanding you're not just a diagnosis, and what once was doesn't mean it is now or will be in the future.
That's an excellent way to think about it. And it's living in the moment, isn't it? Because if you live in the past, that diagnosis, it seems to take you over and it pervades your present. And then it means that you're kind of, you know, pushing yourself down the path for your future, which you think you deserve. So, I mean, is it all about living in the present and being in the moment of what is and what the possibilities are? That's really hopeful to me.
Yeah. In understanding, you know, our whole world is not just the medical system, but definitely in the medical system. I read a fantastic article maybe 2 years ago. It talked about the healthcare system basically being a trauma factory and a torture chamber. And it was written by a psychologist. It was a really deeply fascinating article. And it was going into how we're re-traumatized with these diagnoses and they don't take any time to empower and educate us that the symptoms we're experiencing are really just communications from our body that, hey, something's out and I need you to pay attention here. I need you to support me. And being able to reclaim that power and become empowered within understanding these different messages from our body and our brain and our nervous system. And then we start to learn to interpret them, to ask questions around them. And then we can create a completely different reality within our bodies, but also just in our life in general, because health, if you do not feel well, it doesn't matter. You can have $100 billion. If you are sick and you're unwell, it doesn't really matter. So really, health is the absolute wealth, and being able to come into that space of understanding this, the language of our body, being able to interpret it, being able to talk with it, and then move together in partnership and harmony.
That's really the crux of the doctor-patient relationship. And on that note, let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And before the break, I think you did a wonderful job of describing the power of the individual, the power of the mind and body and how they're connected. I say that to my patients a lot, but you really, you live this. This is part of your, you know, your DNA of how you treat your patients. Is it true that as you think, so your body goes? So you're able to either get yourself into sometimes you don't try, but you're in a loop of disease and of negativity and lowering your energy level. And there's a way to just, if you decide to or get taught how to remove yourself from that loop, everything can actually reverse. Is that a way that you think about the body and energy?
Yeah. And, you know, the DNA operates like antennas, right? In our cells. Our cells, our DNA, are listening to every single thought that we have, every single thing that we observe with our eyes, hear with our ears. And from that communication, they're simply broadcasting, okay, I'm taking in this information, so now I'm going to broadcast this particular pattern. It's like projection screen, right? Like, we're observers, but we're also projectors. And so it starts to recode itself based on what we're feeding ourselves from a mental, from an emotional perspective, from a physical, but also, again, from things that are passed down. So healing is a process of unwinding our personal challenges, traumas, patterns, thinking patterns. But also, a lot of times, once you go beyond that, you're now starting to go back and unwind familial patterns as well. So, you know, the idea, people will say, well, I don't think about being sick or manifesting cancer. Not directly. This is more on the subconscious aspect. Cancer is not it's a symptom, right? So cancer is caused from fear, massive fear. I mean, who hasn't grown up or doesn't live in massive amounts of fear and stress and anxiety and worry and concern? So it's more of the patterns of the emotion connected to the thought processes, and being that 90% of our subconscious controls are and basically dictates our reality. The conscious aspect of the person is not aware that they are manifesting this. So that's a big part of the healing, is we're going deeper into the patterns that we, all of us, are unaware of until we bring awareness to it.
So when you use, there's so many modalities, and I just want to get the overview before we go to each, as many as we can hit. Is it that the person has to release they hold on to fear and anxiety, do they not? I remember when I rotated through the psych portion of our rotations, you would have conversations and sessions with the patient, and they were really, some of them, unwilling to have insight, try to see it a different way. It was almost like they were wallowing in it. How do you get people to change that, to turn that switch? Is it something from a biofeedback standpoint that can unlock before they start talking about it? Or is it, I know it's a kind of a broad question, but is it the talking about it that starts the process? Or is it different for everybody?
There is a slight difference for everybody. And we did touch on this in part one as well, is most of the people who do come in to our clinic, they're usually willing to explore something that's beyond the norm, so to speak. So there is a degree of willingness already just because of our approach. And they're typically in a space of desperation. And we have two motivating factors as humans, inspiration or desperation. Like 99% of people, it's desperation. Inspiration is far easier, but that requires like daily awareness and conscious effort to be in constant communion with literally everything in your life. So it's the easier path and kind of the goal once you allow desperation to be your motivator. And when they enter, the way that we communicate in our process, we already present kind of the understanding that this is an inner journey more than anything else. The power that made the body heals the body. There is no tool that we're bringing in, no drug, pill, supplement, magical elixir that will do the healing. These are simply tools to facilitate the power that's already within. And we just have to figure out what tools you require. So there's already an approach that sets the tone and sets the stage for that. Now, some people will go into certain layers and then they'll hit kind of a wall of where they're not quite ready to go to the deeper layer. So everything really comes down to willingness and choice. I mean, at the end of the day, free will is the very thing that not even God Almighty interferes with.
That's very true. So it has to be something that the patient has made the decision to do, like everything in life. So when you think about some of the disease processes that you're treating, anxiety and depression are two of the most common ailments that plague our society. And I think both of them have grown exponentially over the past 3 years. Is it anger? What's the thing that you find that drives anxiety? I mean, is it powerlessness? What is the thing that you find is the groundwork that kind of leads to these two strategies that patients use to cope?
Yeah, so that's I don't even really call any of these things diseases anymore because they're not, they're symptoms. So anxiety, depression, even cancer, it's a symptom of something much deeper. Patterns, right, that have played out long enough to materialize in such a way. So with anxiety, it's very interesting because in the scan we do emotional, with biofeedback, we have the capacity to look at different emotional underlying pieces and how it's affecting the organs. For some people, it's just true anxiety, the actual emotional process of it. But for the majority of people, that anxiety is more of like this emotionally toxic soup of other emotions and experiences that have been processed out, from fear to anger to frustration to hate to worry. And so for a lot of people, it's manifesting as anxiety, but it's actually just all of these emotions and experiences that haven't not yet been processed out of the nervous system that's creating this pattern in order to get our attention. And I'm really big on that because we have been taught to fear our symptoms, or as the healthcare field calls it, diseases. We've been taught to fear it, but when you start to really understand and shed light and bring awareness to the fact that all of these things are simply messengers, and we have the capacity to learn the language and start to interpret it, it immediately starts unwinding that fear that's connected to why we're not feeling well.
So when you unwind that, I mean, that's the whole point of biofeedback, isn't it? Is to listen to yourself and be able to control it in a way and understand it so you can release it. Is that what the essence of biofeedback is?
Yeah, the goal of biofeedback, neurofeedback, and the therapies that we use is really quite simply to rewire and clear the old patterns, but while doing that, bringing awareness into why they were there in the first place, which we can't control everything in life, and we can't, you know, control our bodies to the point where it's like, oh, okay, if I master this, I can eat a whole chocolate cake and not feel sick or not gain weight. It's more about bringing you and your body and your mind and your spirit into communion together.
That's treating the whole patient then.
Yes.
So, I mean, what about when it's a physical injury, like a traumatic brain injury, a concussion, somewhere where the brain was physically, it had sustained some sort of insult? You can see that as well on your, I guess, how you look at the brain and how it functions. Is that some of the things that we grossly look at it on an MRI or a functional MRI, but your equipment is slightly different, is it not?
It is. And most people come in, some people, if they've had pretty traumatic TBIs or concussions, they're aware, and we take that into account. Others, they don't necessarily connect that a fender bender, for example, causes a concussion or TBI, even if they weren't diagnosed with that. But the impact that it does to the brain and then the rewiring process that happens after that, they all come into, they come into effect, not just mentally and emotionally, but TBIs have caused pain like elsewhere in the body. So a lot of times when we bring in lens neurofeedback or we apply frequency specific microcurrent, we can work with a lot of body pain that's showing up because of the control center in the brain, the corpus callosum, the cerebellum, different elements that are keeping that pain pattern in play. And by being able to go and disrupt that pattern, and that's really what frequency modalities, biofeedback, neurofeedback, FSM, those all are fantastic at, because if willpower was able to do that, we would have overridden it by now. So what it does is it goes in and breaks that pattern. It's like a pattern interrupt, right, within the neurology and physiology. And then once that pattern is interrupted, it's bringing also in, they're known as frequencies, but look at them as like codes. If you're coding in a computer, you're recoding it back to its optimal function.
Well, I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but what's also people need to understand is the devices that you're talking about are, they're concrete. They're approved by the FDA. This is not something that's pie in the sky. This is something that's been quantitated. So what you're talking about is using a modality that is standardized, right? So you can use it and know what the effect is going to be based on every time you treat the patient. I think people need to understand that it's not esoteric, right? It's not qualitative at all, is it?
No, it's not. And they're all close to 150 years old too. So they've been around for a while, and there are hundreds of medical journals of almost miraculous results. We're talking the late 1800s, early 1900s. So these things have been around, and they have, I mean, our website has an education page. It doesn't have all of it, but it has certainly a good amount of the studies done, the clinical studies done on the different technologies we use. And then of course the anecdotal evidence, we're probably between everybody who uses these modalities over the past century or so, we're probably into hundreds of thousands of anecdotal evidence as well.
I think what also people need to understand is that the anecdotal evidence is obtained by clinical, right? It's not some computer-driven algorithm. It's people who are treated patients and had an outcome and can, you know, prove what they've done, see it clinically. I think that really gets negated in the academic side of our medical system. It's as if that's the only thing that exists, and it has to have some sort of pass-through through a pharmaceutical lens in order for it to be validated. And I totally disagree with that. So on that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and you can go to her website, TucsonBiofeedback.com, and you can read about her, find all of the services that the that her clinic offers. And we were speaking about the lens neurofeedback system. How do you link people, just so they can get an idea visually of what it means? What exactly does it entail when you use that device?
Yeah, so the lens does have to be applied in clinic. So that's not one of our remote treatments. But what it is, we have, if you imagine two ear clips, metal ear clips, that's the grounding, creates the circuit in the body. You just clip those on the earlobes. And then we use the two channel. So we have a two channel, which simply means we're working with two different points on the brain at a time. So a lot of people are familiar with like 24-point QEEGs. This is a very different form of neurofeedback. We kind of call it the smart form of neurofeedback, because the traditional versions are really just training the brain to get into a particular brainwave pattern. But that again is, we think we know what's best. So the reason I chose, out of all of the different systems, the reason I chose LENS, stands for low energy neurofeedback system, is it's gentle. The low energy output is, most people don't even feel it. So when you're moving the sensors, there's 21 points on the head. And when you're moving the sensors around on the head, your eyes are closed, you're just relaxing, and it's taking a reading and then sending a feedback signal unique to your brain. Within the lens, we have an infinite number of settings that we can change. And we have different things that we apply depending on how sensitive somebody's brain is. So within that capacity, we have different settings we apply. But the process for everyone is going to be, there's going to be sensors moving around the head, usually only a matter of seconds. We initially start with 2 to 4 seconds because information travels at light speed. So you don't need long times on these points. And what it's doing is it's in essence sending a feedback signal saying, hey, this is a little wonky. Go ahead and I'm going to send you a feedback to get you back into optimal function. So it's communicating with that particular brain center. And the reason that we like the lens is it allows the brain to reorganize itself in the way that's most optimal for the individual. Again, we're very big on taking human ego and human error out of the equation and allowing the brain and body to do what it does best.
I love that. Now, that's a modality that's in the clinic. What are some of the things that you offer that people can do remotely? Tell me, is the biofeedback one of those kind of modalities that people don't have to come to the clinic to experience?
It can be. We've had people purchase their own system, and then I guide them on how to use it. That can be a little challenging to jump into initially, especially if somebody's nervous system is dysregulated. So again, when we do an intake, we really gauge on where the individual is at and what would be the best approach. So it can be, but the BOD is fantastic, especially when done in clinic. And that's one of the main sessions I facilitate because it is a customized bio and neurofeedback setting. It's a 2-channel again, so it simply means 2 different patterns. And for example, somebody came in who had severe PTSD from a car accident. She was hit by a car on her bike, and she loves biking. Every time she would see a crosswalk, which is where she was, or see a biker, she would go into that traumatic response. So when she came in, the way we do it is we, on the first channel, find, okay, go into that memory or that trigger or that reaction, that charge. And then once it amplifies on channel 1, that's when we found where the pattern is running in the amygdala. The next step is we find it won't eliminate immediately, but as soon as that charge drops, as I turn the dial on the 2nd channel, that's when we found the counseling frequency. And then once we found that, we let them sit on it for about 15 to 20 minutes. And what it's in essence doing is it's severing that neural pathway. And after just 1 session, the trigger was completely gone. Typically, it will be between 50 to 100% reduced or eliminated. It all depends on the willingness of the brain to let it go and how rigid somebody's brain points are, which we can see in lens. So the rigidity is kind of this resistance of what are you doing? I'm here to keep you safe. I kind of know how to function in this pattern. But we usually see on average about 80 to 100% most of the time on whatever charge or pattern we're working through.
You compare that to something that you get a prescription for. That's like day and night in terms of being able to solve a problem for a patient. That's amazing. So yeah. Go ahead. I mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say it is. I mean, the BOD. And you have to have somebody who knows how to use it. For me, because I work in this field, I'm like, oh man, this makes sense. It connected immediately. So I really, really dove all in with the BOD system. And it's been on Dr. Phil a few times too. It's been highlighted. And it's fantastic. There's a number of things. Now, if it's complex PTSD, that means layered. So if it's a charge or just like a trigger-based PTSD, it's fantastic. If it's complex PTSD, that's usually where we need to address it from a few different angles with the brain and the nervous system, not just the BOD.
Okay. Now, another thing that I was looking at is the terahertz technology. You know, we talk about energy, and this is kind of an aside, but the EMF energy that people are exposed to, that's more of a disrupting kind of energy. How does the terahertz technology, how's it different? Because, I mean, there's blue light, right, coming off of your computer. Is that something that can mess with people from a neurological and biological perspective?
Yes. So there's a few different things in that. The blue light from the computer tricks our pineal gland, and honestly, not just our computer, our cell phone, also our lights in the house. And that's why people have a lot of sleep disruption. So being able to bring in blue light blockers, glasses, screen protectors help a lot. And headaches go down. If people get headaches, try some blue light blocking technology for your screens, as well as clear glasses, you know, once it hits about, well, it depends on what time of year, but an hour and a half or so before the sun goes down, it will help a lot. And so that's one element, is the blue light that's coming from technology and artificial light. The terahertz, this is more of a waveform. Terahertz we call here the magic wand, and everybody who has ever experienced it agrees and concurs. It is a magic wand in essence, and it is rapid in how quickly it is able to help the body glean enough energy, because you're charging the cells in essence with the waveform of life. The terahertz falls between gamma and microwave radiation, so it's not harmful. But every single living thing, whether it's a plant, an animal, or a human, requires terahertz to live. So most of us, we can kind of glean that we are being depleted of our cellular energy regularly. So the terahertz charges it up very, very quickly. On top of that, you're able to, when you use it on meridian points, acupuncture points, and just points of pain in general, what you're doing is you're directing that particular waveform technology right into the area of concern, but it's also traveling at the speed of light, because that's how quickly the fascia takes in information and it transfers it out. So it's traveling at the speed of light, communicating with different parts of the body. So the terahertz, we usually include as an at-home device in people's programs. So they'll come into the clinic, but then they have something to utilize at home. And that is one of the easiest and best at-home devices. We've tried different things. This is still very new for people, so we have found that the simpler, the better. This one is literally point and shoot. You just take it and you point it on the area of concern, hands, palms. We always recommend brain going up and down the spine, kind of the main areas. And as you're doing that, I mean, I could not tell you how many people have had like pain and injuries and even panic attacks. Within 5 minutes of using it, they've been able to calm themselves down. So it works on the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical aspect of the body, because it's all intertwined.
May I ask, from a, let's say, a diabetic with neuropathy, is that something that, because that's significant pain and it's never really, you know, you can't control it with pain medication. Is that something, something that people have that this could work on?
Yes. So not just with our group, but I have a group of practitioners who utilize this particular device with a lot of their clientele, no matter what line of work they're in. They have had amazing testimonies for neuropathy, and also knowing which neuropathy, is it toxic neuropathy, like from chemotherapy, nerve damage, there's different reasons too. And we're able to kind of bring in a holistic plan for that. And FSM, frequency-specific microcurrent, also has fantastic neuropathy programs and protocols to run, because we're communicating with the tissue and issue depending on what the root cause of that is. But we have seen a lot of neuropathic challenges start to heal and regenerate, you know, even the nerves that are kind of reaching that nerve death, which is, again, everything can be regenerated. Look what they're doing with stem cells. So it really comes down to, what does the body require to bring in the regenerative properties within what's going on?
Well, that's just such an amazing approach to healthcare. We just think as soon as someone's injured, you just mask it. You know, that's kind of the knee-jerk response. You take something to narcotize you or somehow sedate you. And that's never fixing the problem. I can imagine all these pain clinics would be a thing of the past if people could access this side of the healthcare system. It fascinates me, because this is something that people can be their own practitioner. They don't, you know, they have to learn how to use it, obviously, but they're not beholden to a monthly prescription or going somewhere and having something done that may not be long-term a benefit, like getting steroid injections that has a potentially negative outcome from it. and it doesn't fix the problem. And it's just, I love the fact that you've gone down to the cellular level, the neurological level, the biological level, and you're kind of helping the body help itself. That's how I kind of see it. I want to talk about other things like migraines, and I think fertility is a major issue. Autoimmune diseases is a major issue that is just coming. I can't imagine 10 years ago, I never seen this many people coming in with autoimmune diseases. And I think they all are connected. So let's take our last break and discuss that. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And as you said before, people can come to the clinic. I know that you're overwhelmed, but you also have a way for people who can't make it out to Tucson in order to get your services. I know that people can go to your website. There is a waiting list that people can sign up for. Am I correct?
Yeah, they can email us and ask to be added to the wait list. And then as openings come up, we're able to email you out and let you know, hey, we have an opening on this day and time, and then allow new people to come in. And the reason, because what we do, we're the only clinic that combines all of these approaches into one and have a very holistic understanding of that. So, and it also requires a lot of one-on-one time. We're not a high volume clinic. We couldn't be with the type of work that we do. So it also limits how many people we're able to see at any time. But that's also why we tell people when they come in, we're not looking for you to be a lifetime customer like the medical system. We are here for a short time, get you off the runway. Our whole goal, and we always tell them this, is you've been stuck on the runway trying to get off. Our goal here is to get the momentum going, to approach it comprehensively, get you off the runway. But then from there, you're able to fly your plane. And you can go to different destinations, different practitioners to continue your journey. But that allows us to continually be able to work with new people. It's not that we don't love the people that we work with. We just know that time is the biggest limitation that we have.
I love that. That's how my mentality is. It's not about volume. It's about quality. And it takes time. You have to talk with the patient. You have to get to know them. You have to forge a relationship. That's the foundation of good health. And I love the fact that you're not compromising. It's everybody is treated as an individual. I love that. That's exactly my mentality. Now, before the break, I said I wanted to discuss some about autoimmunity because it seems to be, it's exploded. Every time you turn on the TV, there's some sort of autoimmune disease that they've come up with some sort of immune suppressing medication for. But what's your experience? Are you seeing more people with autoimmune issues? And I mean, is there some sort of commonality that you're seeing with a trigger for them?
Yeah. So autoimmunity is definitely a major problem. And so many people coming in, whether diagnosed or not, I mean, they usually are just like, I don't really know. It's probably some type of autoimmune condition. It seems to be the hot word being thrown around right now. And it appears to the medical field that the body has turned against itself. And really what we see is there's just massive miscommunication and blockages within the cells, the nervous system. And a lot of times it is from stagnant emotions, traumas, stressors that haven't been dealt with. And so the body is really doing its best to redirect around that. And depending on where it manifests, it will give us a lot of insight. So we kind of work like a detective. And depending on where it's manifesting, if the autoimmune comes with massive migraines, then we know, okay, we got to focus a little bit more in this direction. Look at the underlying emotional causes from what's going on in the head or the parts of the brain. If it's showing up as, say, rheumatoid arthritis and in the hands or the wrist, that also gives us, okay, then we need to look over here and bring these elements in to the treatment program. And it's growing. There's a number of reasons why. I think a huge thing is we're disconnected completely at the spiritual level and the emotional level. That is by far, the physical causes are always secondary to the deeper ones. Whether someone is ready or willing to admit that or not, you know, there's a lot of people who are not, and they really want to chase the physical. But the physical causes, pathogenic, toxicity are always secondary to something deeper. But you also have to address that element as well. So a lot of that is going to be pathogenic in toxicity. And our whole world, air, food, and water, unfortunately, is completely poisoned now. So it's not hard to figure out where that's coming from. It's in every aspect. The clothes we wear, the paint that's used on the walls, the equipment used in our computers. There's no getting away from that. So what is really important is that we reharmonize and tone the system to become stronger and more able to overcome the constant onslaught without getting completely thrown onto the ground from that.
Mm-hmm. And from another modality that I wanted to just touch on is the halo therapy. I mean, it seems like light, it's either harmful or it can be medicinal. How does the blue light diodes, how does that work? And is that something that people can do as a home at home modality?
So the halo is a fascinating technology, and that is from an investment of their own system. So a lot of these you can order your own. It just becomes quite expensive. These are all in the multiple thousands of dollars, but they are available for purchase. The halo came about, let's see, I think 25 years ago, right around there. Michael Thomas is a master chemist, and his son had tragically passed away from taking prescribed medications and just wrong interactions. So he was starting to work on a technology that could be a delivery system to bring in the harmonics of, if they wanted, he didn't use it for drugs, but if you want to bring in the harmonics of the particular drug, there is actually a frequency. Every single thing, every drug, every plant, every organ, every tissue has a frequency signature. So you can deliver anything in that format. So he was looking at it more from a holistic and natural healing perspective. And shortly, while he was working in this, shortly after his son passed, he got diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he now connects that the cancer showed up from the shock, is what it's called. There's always some type of shock in life, and then it lodges in a particular, so like liver, for example, if there's a shock and then anger was the predominant emotion connected with that, that will be the organ connected. And then it will actually rewire the brain. So you can track from organ, emotion, shock moment, and brain pattern. And then from there, you can connect and see how the manifestation of disease is showing up. And so he sent out a prayer. He said, listen, the work I'm doing, I feel, is world-changing. If it's my time to go, let it be my time to go. And if it's not, let me stay on Earth. And he used his system, and they told him he should have been dead last week when he came in, of course. Wonderful, uplifting news from the medical system there. And he finished the halo system 25 years ago. He's still here and he's still creating new vials. So it's kind of a breakthrough in what he's done, because he's taken thousands of the harmonics of herbs. We're talking like ancient Chinese herbs, Tibetan herbs, adaptogens, minerals, vitamins. Every vial has a different application and a different chemical combination. So when you take the light is just the delivery system. It's not, the light's not the important piece, but the light is the delivery system, and it's allowing that vial, the harmonics, to enter the bloodstream. And then from there, over the next 2 to 3 hours, the body will utilize exactly what it needs. And then the rest of it, it will just basically disappear without putting stress on the body. So it's really an intelligent technology that he has created. And so in clinic, when we do it on the body, we also infuse the same vials we used with the person into water. So they have water to drink. They're drinking their therapy over the course of the next week. And it has been profound what we have seen with that and the ease of use, because when you're just taking the harmonics into the body and drinking the water, you eliminate a lot of the Herx effects too, from the detoxes and from taking physical supplements.
That's pretty incredible. And, you know, we don't have, unfortunately, time is flying. I hate that. But I wanted to talk quickly about the bioresonance, which you just described as how everything has a frequency, right? Every cell, every organ system. And I wanted to touch base with the bioresonance, the vibrational frequency of the body, and how you're able to, that's one of the modalities you use to, I wouldn't say diagnose necessarily, but to find out where blockages are. Is that something that's more an overview of where the disease, or I should say, the imbalance is, where the blockages are, where the things are stuck? Is that something that, is that a specific modality that you're using as an overview?
It gives an overview and then also sends out balancing bioresonant harmonics. So in those ones can be done no matter where you are as well. So there's a few different applications with the bioresonance specifically. So when you're running the, we have two steps, like scan and then optimize. So when you're running the scan, it's reading, okay, how far out of balance is this? Or is this in perfect balance, perfect harmony? And then if it's not, it will chart that. And then during the optimize, so once it goes through the scan, then you can actually hit optimize. And then from there, it sends out the balancing frequency, the balancing harmonics. And then we have charts that can read how much into range it came in, if it remained the same. And the big piece with bioresonance is not a one-time thing. What you want to pay attention to over the course of time is patterns. So if there's a particular area that's constantly showing in the critical condition. Now, mind you, when we work with frequency-based therapies like this and biofeedback, critical in that element means it won't yet show up on the medical system is like damage control, like you're on the verge of death. This can pick up years to decades before. So it gives us the time to be able to be proactive in making the changes necessary. So what we pay attention to when we work with people are what patterns are showing up, what are consistently critical. What do we need to bring in then to help rebalance this? Is this an emotional thing? Is it sometimes just as simple as a nutrient deficiency? Is it the environment they're living in? There's different reasons why. So it allows us to kind of go deeper and explore in a particular area where a pattern is showing up.
So that's really preventative medicine at its the nucleus of prevention from what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is that something that can do that you can do virtually with patients, or do they have to come into the center?
That one can be done virtually, which is awesome. Great. Time and space does not inhibit that one.
I love that. So I we're unfortunately at the end of the show, and I feel like, again, I only got part of what I need, but I want to make sure people know how to reach you.
Yeah. So info at TucsonBiofeedback.com is our email. And so if you want to be put on the wait list, please email and then let us know if you're local or remote, because that's a really important piece of information for us. And then our website is a fantastic place to visit. It's www.TucsonBiofeedback.com. Those would be the best two places to connect with us. We have an Instagram and a YouTube under the same name, Tucson Biofeedback. We're not as active on there as we would like to be, but we do have some things up there as well.
Well, Dr. Blessing, again, it's been an honor to have you on the show. I really love our conversations because it just makes my mind expand on everything that we limit ourselves to in this medical system that we find ourselves in. And doctors and patients both need to break the paradigm, get outside the box, and go to really what wellness and health is all about. And that's what you represent, and that's what you do. So once again, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you as well. It's always a pleasure communicating with you. And yes, time goes way too fast.
It does when you're having fun.
It does.
I want to thank you again. And I want to thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.